Hello, welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God. And let us, with the saints of God, enter into a service already in progress.
And sisters, by going into a 1, 2, 3. And I say body, soul, spirit. But what happens is sometimes when I'll be dealing with one of those things, I'll break it down again into a 1, 2, 3. And in mathematics, they say to the power of. And many times when you break down something in the body realm into a 1, 2, 3, or something in a natural dimension into a 1, 2, 3, even though you have part of it projecting what we would say a spiritual projection, but that's an allegory. When you break something down in the body realm or in the natural realm, it's just an allegory. And that allegory, that thing will never be spirit. Like I say, the allegory of a spirit life in the earth would be a bird that can fly. But that really has nothing to do with spirit life. It's an allegory to show the difference of a thing that breaks ground and flies versus the thing that crawls upon the earth or the creepy things that go down under the earth. So then I could break that one down and we got things in the earth and we got things that walk upon the earth and we got things that fly, or we could break the things like the eagles that go way up high and go up above the storms and the clouds and the other little things that can fly but never can't get up beyond those things are going to be more under subjection to the elements. So we break down and we break down and we break down and we break down and we get down to the finite. So there's so many things that when I'm speaking, especially when we're talking about some sort of a dimensional projection, that you could say, well, I understand this, and about the time you understand that, if you would listen closely, we'll go into dissecting and breaking this thing down even further and further again. So when we think of the Father and the Godhead, we know that it's spirit. And we know that the spirit is invisible, that no man has seen. But then yet, I could break this thing down and say that Jesus is the spirit. When I told you that he is in the soul realm, that's the manifestation. But evidently, when he turned and spoke, and we know he's not a liar, and they said, when will we see the Father? He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. So now you're saying, well, he had to be spirit because he said that he was the Father, and we know according to the scriptures that the Father's spirit. But it said that no man has seen. So how did we see it in him? By the manifestation of it. Can you see the wind blowing? Can anybody see the wind blowing? No, they can't. That's why there's a thing right there in John about it. You can't see the wind blowing, can you? But you can see the evidence of what the wind does when it does blow. You can see the wind, and the only way that you can understand wind is friction. The only way you can understand wind, it has to hit an object. The only way. When the wind blows, it hits an object, makes the trees move. When the wind blows, there has to be a resistance. And the only way that you'll understand God is the same way, by resistance. He's a spirit, and the only way that you're going to understand God is a resistance, and the resistance comes through carnality. The resistance comes through human life. And that's the only way you'll understand God. This is why God has His way in the good and the evil. If you didn't understand evil, you'd never know God. You would never understand the goodness of God until you understood evil. You would never have understood or comprehended anything about God until there was a friction in the earth and a thing, and this is where life comes from. This is where the reproduction of life comes in. So many things could be said. So we speak in now. We find this transformation realm. We find this middle realm. We say even a middle wall of partition. So we find, why would it be considered a middle wall of partition, and why does the middle wall partition have to come down? Because Jesus, he came as that middle wall of partition, and that body had to be done with and had to be taken down for we can get beyond that image. And this is why Jesus didn't allow them or want them to go into worship with him as the Messiah, because it wasn't that kingdom that he was wanting them to be relevant to. He was trying to bring them relevant to a spiritual kingdom, and that's why we are the true elect of God, because we were looking beyond the veil into the thing of just saying to set this kingdom up now, and that we were seeing that there is another kingdom, and it's the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God, if it does dwell within humanity, if we find that the kingdom of God truly is dwelling within, then we're going to have to get into some sort of thought and some other kind of thing, just quit understanding things by natural and physical life. We're going to have to see that it must be something else. And why would they say this kingdom of God is within? Why would it be something within? And we talk about serving God with our heart. Why would it go to everything being within? Because there's something that's within humanity or within man. There's something dwelling down in there, and you think, is all of the saints there? So then we start thinking, what does it mean by being within? Does it mean it's all dwelling right here within me? When the fullness of the Godhead was dwelling within the Lord Jesus Christ? The fullness of it? So what does this mean? We got to go to thought, brothers and sisters, the only way we can understand that. So we go back to a state of mind, we go back to thoughts. So anything that you do in physical life as you walk this earth is going to have to be birthed in a thought. Anything. You tell me one thing that there isn't thoughts necessary. When somebody loses their thought life, they're dead. You talk about the five senses. You take the five senses away from this life, that life is dead. There is no life. When it doesn't have the ability to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, there is no life left. So it's just temporal life. But when we think of this kingdom, and we think of this kingdom of God, we say the kingdom within, then what is within? There's the power of thought. And whatever so that you think is whatsoever you are. You see, a man can think, and in the power of thought, he could be anywhere in any moment at any time. I could get you to close your eyes, and I could say brothers and sisters, and I could start in the way of meditation, and I could get you by the power of thought that you could be anywhere that you want to be, by the power of thought. And you think, well, I would rather be there. But then yet I've seen people there and it still wasn't happiness. I've seen people, there's people that are in the thoughts like, man, if I could have $1 million, man, boy, I'll tell you, I'd be happy. Man, I'd be so, so happy if I had $1 million. Hey, I've known a lot of millionaires that ain't happy at all. I've seen some of the millionaires that walk with accountants on their face and they look so terrible and sour and awful. And they sure ain't happy. And sometimes they're so frustrated in life trying to figure out how they can hold on to that and make sure that somebody isn't going to get some of it. And they're just unhappy and miserable. They'd be better off if they was poor and didn't have to worry about all that money. So, I mean, you see, it goes beyond possession, brothers and sisters. It goes to a state of mind and thought. So if we're going to understand God, we're going to have to understand thought. And if there's thought, when we think of thought, it's saying, God, thought means nothing. Thought means everything. Because there is nothing that you do, nothing that happens within anything that you see that wasn't first a thought. So thoughts must be important. Thoughts have got to be ever so important. The Lord Jesus didn't deal with the natural things. He said that this body, that because of His works on Calvary, that this body's dead and it isn't the things and the deeds of the body. It goes back to thought. He said if a man would even look upon a woman and lust after her, that he was guilty of adultery. So he's going to thought. There's something that happens in thought. There's never an action of adultery until there was a thought of adultery. So if we could deal with the thought life and the things of thought, then we have victory over the body by getting the victory in thought. So what is it to enter into the kingdom of God? It's a thought. You're going to have your thoughts right. Why do people perish? Because of lack of understanding. It's because of lack of confession. If he's the profession and the confession, it's a lack of that. Why is there a lack of that? Because it's a lack of thought. I don't feel like a son of God. Man, my back hurts. My neck hurts. Man, I ache. I ain't got no money in the bank. I'm hungry. Man, I don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow. And that's where their thoughts are busy. Their thoughts are all living right there and dwelling there. And how in the world can they ever get caught away and raptured away in thought? And if their thoughts would change, then they would see the benefit of their thoughts happening right here on the earth. I don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to pay the light bill. But praise God, He's still on the throne. Amen. If He is not even concerned about the things of the birds, they don't have no worry about tomorrow. And He takes care of them. And the fields clothed with grass and all the beautiful flowers and everything. They don't put no thought of tomorrow. And bless God, I'm His son. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God and I'm His son. And what am I fretting for and what am I worrying for? He's going to make a way for me. He's going to make a way for me. And all things are going to work out for my good. Why? Because I love God. And He's going to make it all happen. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I'm going to keep on loving Him and I'm going to keep on believing that He's going to take care of me and I'm going to do my part. I'm excited about it. I'm going to go help Him do something and I'm going to be busy about His business. And when because I'm busy about the Father's business, my thoughts are established according to the Word of God. Amen. You see, if your thoughts aren't established because you're not about the Father's business. But if the Bible teaches us that because we're about the Father's business, then our thoughts could be established. So then we say, well, we could just sit around and think. Well, you can. You can sit around and think that you're a millionaire and starve to death. So you say, ah, now you're being contrary. You just told us something different. You could sit around and think about being a millionaire all day long and be hungry. But what is the fruit of your thoughts? What is the fruit of your thoughts? If you want to be a millionaire, then you're going to have to think like a millionaire and act like a millionaire. And I don't know no millionaires that lay around that are lazy and sluggards and slothful that made $1 million. They're a millionaire because they thought like a millionaire. They've done the things that the other millionaires done to get it. It's a thought. When I'm teaching you thoughts, there's these thoughts, then the thoughts manifest. And whatever the manifestation of thought is what you are. This is why Jesus is the high priest of your profession. And if you profess Him not to heal, He doesn't heal. If you profess Him not to bring the abundant blessings to you, He doesn't. You tie His hands. You tell Him what He can do. If He's a just God and a righteous God, no respecter of person, I know that He wanted to heal in Nazareth, but He didn't. Why? It's because of the state of thought and the state of their thoughts and the way they thought that, well, He can't do that. He's just a carpenter's son. So He couldn't. He couldn't do it. So, do you got God bound? You got His hands tied today? There's many times people have God's hands tied and He can't do it. God honors the Word. He's going to honor the Word and He's going to move in the behalf of the guidelines of what is written within this Bible. He's not going to deviate one iota. He's going to always stay within the lines of the Word. Now, He can go in the perspectives of grace and show His mercies and kindness, and it would appear that He would be going contrary to what His Word says, but He's saying, hey, I'm just showing how kind I am. But then yet, on the other hand, when He rips a head off of the shoulders of something, you can say, oh my, where's that loving, just God? That was a loving, just, merciful God that ripped the head off something, for we wouldn't have to look at the hoary head of that thing floating around all the time, and it'd be done away with and put into the eternal flames of hell. But let's talk about thoughts just for a moment longer. If everything pertaining to God is a thought, everything. There is nothing outside of thought life that isn't pertaining to God. That's the only way you can comprehend and understand God is by thought. And you're going to have to be a steward over thought. You're going to have to change your thoughts to inherit the kingdom of God. And you're going to think your way into the kingdom of God. You say, I don't know about that. Well, you better start knowing about that. Because the thing is if we're going to speak those things that are not, as if they were, the only way we could do that is by thinking upon those things. And the way we think upon those things is by we're meditating on those things and we're their thoughts. And their thoughts of those things. And my thoughts are heavenly. Are your thoughts heavenly or are your thoughts natural? Are your thoughts spiritual or are they carnal? The Bible commands us to have these things within our heart, singing these spiritual hymns and songs on a continuous basis. The Bible says to be in prayer continually. So it has to go to thought. Everything happens to thought life. Every single thing you do. And where are your thoughts at? That's where you'll find man. Whatever a man thinketh, that is what he is according to the Scriptures. Or a man is wherever his heart is where his treasure is. So everything, there isn't anything that we're going to isolate from thought. You say, well, I think some people need to get their doings under control, their actions under control. They'll never get their actions under control. They could bring their actions under control through will worship for a temporal thing, but their thoughts have got to change. The religious indoctrinations of the world, brothers and sisters, are bringing thoughts. They're putting thoughts and putting thoughts. The school teachers are putting thoughts into children's head. Everybody's putting thoughts and putting thoughts. Every time you watch an advertisement, it's putting thoughts into your head. Oh, you need a new car, you need a new car, you need a new car. Boy, look how clean and shiny and pretty it is. Boy, you got to have a new car, you got to have a new car. And then all of a sudden your thoughts are on the new car, and all of a sudden you're down there at the thing writing a check to a guy and getting a down payment, you got a new car, because it's thoughts that came to your mind. It's thoughts that came to you and you were thinking on that. And then it manifested. What are your thoughts? Who generates these thoughts? Satan generates thoughts. Human spirit generates thoughts. God generates thoughts. So now we got a bombardment of thoughts. We got all of these thoughts. And we say, I know God's thoughts because God's thoughts are the Word of God. And that's how I can discern thoughts when they come. But Satan uses the Bible to get you off course by thought. He says, boy, this is what you need to do here. Man, bless God, you're burning up and you're just withering away and dying. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And then all of a sudden you find that these thoughts, you think, well, these are godly thoughts because it's doing something for the kingdom of God. But it's Satan slipping in thoughts that would seem ever so religious just to get you away from where you should be, that you can get your thoughts established for you could be about the Father's business. You understand what I'm saying? How do I know these things? Because I've been there and I've lived there. I've chased thoughts. But one time, or not one time, on a continuous thing, we got to learn to discern thoughts. Try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. How do we know a spirit? Try the Spirit. What is a spirit? What is a spirit? A spirit has to be a thought. If we says, try the Spirit and see if it be of God, it's got to be a thought. How else are you going to try the Spirit? It's going to be in thought. Well, wait, the Spirit said, thus us and us, it brought a thought. The Spirit brought a thought. The Spirit motivated a thought within your heart, motivated a thought within your life. So then, if we're going to try the Spirit, then the only way that we could try the Spirit is try the thought. What kind of thought did the Spirit generate in your thought life? What kind of thought did it generate? And that's the only thing that could make you change anything is thought. So if a spirit comes and it generates some sort of a thought, then you discern the thought to know if it'd be of God. And that's the only way that you can do it. You say, well, I didn't feel right. I just didn't feel right. But why didn't you feel right? Because that feeling is generating a thought. What kind of thought come forth? So then what does the intents of the heart do? It brings thoughts. Everything goes to thoughts. Every single thing. Every single thing. You find me a man that's got a victorious thought life and I'll show you a victorious man. You show me a man with holy thoughts, I'll show you a holy man. You show me a man with immoral thoughts, I'll show you an immoral man. You see, everything fits together. It's for whatever you think, that is what you are. If you think that you're wretched, you're wretched. If you think that you're holy and godly, then you'll be holy and godly. You say, so I could just think that? Yes, if you got enough power to keep thinking that that's what you are, that's what you will be, because your thoughts are going to be that way. Now, if you say that you're holy and godly, but then yet everything about you is evil and wretched and immoral and ungodly and crooked, then the thing is there's thoughts making those things happen. You cannot be thinking on godly things and have your mind in the gutter. It don't work that way. Either you're going to be in one world or the other world. So I know that I teach the transformation realm. I know that I teach this middle realm, the sanctification realm, and I teach a travail and a warfare and the things that you find yourself doing are not the things that you want to do. Great man of God said that. The very things that I find myself wanting to do, those are the things I'm not doing, and the very things that I want to do are the very things, or the very things I don't want to do are the very things that I'm doing. Just paraphrasing a little bit. Why? He said because he was in a continual warfare. Who's going to deliver me from this body? Where was his thoughts at? You see, it was a continual warfare and a travail. Can we have victory in life through thought? Amen. It's going to be thought. So, people that want to change habits, they got bad habits in life, they got things that vex them, things that grieve them, and all this, all they got to do is change thoughts. The guy that can't quit smoking, you know why he can't? Because he's thinking about it all the time. Boy, that cigarette sure sounds good. Man, I could taste that thing. Goes into a restaurant, somebody else smoking, and he's sniffing around this way. Boy, that thing sure does smell good. His thoughts are there. That's where his thoughts at. He's already lost the victory, man. He may as well just go and smoke with him. Because he's thinking about it. But you know what? I'd be thinking about saying, man, I tell you, the prayers of the saints are that sweet-smelling savor that goes up before the Lord. And I'd start changing my thoughts real quick. And I'd start thinking, like the lily of that valley. Boy, I know, man, that thing smells so fresh and so pretty. And just ask to borrow some of my thoughts, what I think. Ask me to borrow some of my thoughts, because my thoughts sure ain't it smells good. Don't smell good to me at all. See, your thoughts must be perverted thoughts if you think it smells good. When you think a cigarette smells good, your thoughts are perverted. I think it's rank and sorry. So my thoughts are different than your thoughts. So the Bible says that we see eye to eye, we don't break ranks. So some one of us has got some bad thoughts. Ain't that right? Some of us have bad thoughts. So let's get our thoughts in order. If we see eye to eye and we don't break rank, that means we have the same kind of thoughts and we think the same way, isn't it? So then that's what we need to do. So change your thoughts. I was talking with a man the other day. And here's a man that's a married man. He's getting ready to go off on a trip over here to the coast. Leaving his wife at home, going off with a bunch of single guys. What does my thoughts go to? Trouble, problems. I think, oh, Brother Rob, your thoughts are wrong. Brother Rob, why don't you think they're all going over there to have a prayer meeting, man? They're going to go pass out literature and win souls. Maybe your thoughts are wrong. Well, I tell you this, I got to be careful how I think and how I speak, because I've spoken many things into an existence because of thought. But then yet, if I discern the thoughts, what is the thoughts? And a child's known by his doing. So as I find myself talking to this individual, I start explaining the spirit world to him and trying to explain to him how spirits work and how spirits come by thoughts and how these things happen. And I could take and change a man's thoughts that fast. by producing something that would change his thoughts. Let's go into obesity for a minute. And I could take a person that's got an obese spirit. Obesity is a spirit, okay? And it's a spirit of overindulging in food. And I could set a big old beautiful cheesecake up there, man. And I mean, their spirit's going to be like, whoa. I mean, they're going to be looking at that thing. And if a man had a spirit of obesity, and I had the big old cheesecake sitting right here, and I might be pouring my heart out, talking about the things of God, and he'd be looking at me, and every once in a while he'd be looking over there at that thing, and his thoughts would be on that cheesecake. And he'd be thinking, I can't wait till that preacher gets done, because when he gets done, I know that we're going to dig into that cheesecake, and I want some of that cheesecake. And his thoughts are going to keep going over there to that cheesecake. It's something right there before him all the time, and he sees it. But you know what? I could change his thought just like that, and he wouldn't want nothing to do with that cheesecake. I could tell him, I say, you know what I done? I said, that cheesecake has got poison in it. And if you eat that cheesecake, it's going to wrench up in your gut, and you're going to, like Troy says, you're going to seize up. And you're going to eat that cheesecake, and you're just going to seize up on the inside, and they're going to carry you out of here in a box. That thing wouldn't be attractive no more, would it? Because what was laying down there within that thing, it all of a sudden something that was pulling on his spirit, and somehow he can give no more flip about that thing whatsoever at all because of one thought. It's poisoned. This is how we could start getting our thought life under control. We have things pulling on us and things doing this and things doing that. And we want to do this, we want to do that. And we know it ain't right and ain't lined up with the scriptures. And all we got to do is when we look at that thing that's pulling on us is see the face of Satan himself smiling back at you saying, come on, man, here it is. Boy, it's going to taste so sweet. It's going to be so good. And then all of a sudden you look at that and you think, I'm going to change my thoughts just a little bit about that. I'm going to change my thoughts a little bit. As I was talking with a man, I don't like to go into things of manly talk, still keeping things decent and in order, and was talking about lust and perversion and things. I said, you know, that woman may look so good to you and you'd do anything to have just a few minutes with her or to have time with her. But if somebody would drop a thought in you and say that this woman is eat up with AIDS, then all of a sudden she wouldn't be so attractive no more. She wouldn't look so pretty no more. All of a sudden, man, you'd start getting your thoughts under control. Man could pull his thoughts down like that because he sees death. But you see, they all bring that when it's outside of the sanctimony of marriage and godliness and holiness and virtue. So you see how one thought could change and convert your thoughts? And if the things that are unpleasing to God and it troubles you in your spirit, then the thing is it should be that easy for you to get those things in control and bring those thoughts. I remember a preacher said one time, practice being in the presence of God. Practice being in the presence of God. Your language changes when you're around the preacher, and the preacher ain't around, then your language should always be good because you should practice being in the presence of the one that really matters. And the thing is they should practice godliness and holiness and virtue because their thoughts are right. You see, when you start learning to control your thoughts, then all of a sudden the speech will change coming out. When a man smashes his thumb and blurts out cursing, it's because that cursing's in his thought life. Even though he's making a practice of trying to curb it or to try to keep his tongue, it's still in there running around. But once he gets his thought life under control, it ain't running around in there. We do have control of all thoughts.
Amen.
Okay? But the thing is what we don't have control of is the ones that come, but we have control of them when they come. Okay? There's things that we can make ourselves miserable in. Dale's on some kind of special diet. He's determined in his mind and his thoughts that he's going to do this, so he keeps his thoughts accordingly. But it would be real easy for him to get out of thought, think about what he can't have. And start smelling. Pretty soon, you know that thoughts can generate smell and all kinds of stuff. I tell you, I know that. I live on them streets too. You know what I'm saying? Brother George, I remember he was talking about a man eat up with lust. He said he could taste a woman. And he said they get so eat up with it that they would actually eat them. And to the point of chewing and eating the flesh. He said he's seen it get that bad. You hear reports of it. How many of you heard of the serial killers, man, that even go to the thing of eating? It all generated from lust. All the same thing. And that's why the serial killings was most generally is because it's a sexual thing and there's always a sexual perversion that takes place within the things before the murders in just about most all cases. Not too often you hear about people just going around and blowing people's brains off or slicing their throats. There's usually the other perversions that go along with it. Again, it's all thoughts. Why do those people do that? Because it's thoughts. And demonic spirits don't have no power over anything or anybody until they get into a thought. And once they start coming into a thought, that's why the Lord Jesus said, "Get ye behind me, Satan," because he's seen a man giving thoughts over to compassion on the human spirit side. I've spoke about this time and time again, brothers and sisters. I said many times we make decisions and we move by passion or compassion, I mean. And we make our decisions by compassion of the human spirit. And we make that decision because we feel sorry for. And when we do that, when we feel sorry or this and that, and we make our decisions by that, we get in God's way. And the thing is we make our decisions by the mind of God and by the thoughts of Christ. So then we think, now we're dealing with thoughts for just a moment. I don't know how we started going down this trail or where we ended up there, but everything goes to that. I know we always speak about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is thought. The most, probably I preach more of the mind of Christ than anything, any subject in here, and that's thought. It's His thoughts. I want His thoughts. His thoughts. His thoughts. What are His thoughts? It's His mind. How do I understand His mind? By His thoughts and understanding His thoughts. So I got to understand how His thoughts come into my thoughts. I got to convert my thoughts to His thoughts. Now I'm going to bring an example of that, of a marriage. If we are the bride, okay? Now the bride has to learn to come into the thoughts of the husband, according to the Scriptures. And when the woman's in her own thoughts, according to the Scriptures, we found transgression of the law. We found a problem. We found sin coming into the world. We find that all the curse came on this natural earth, and all the curse came to the physical earth because thoughts weren't right. It all goes back there. It started out with a thought. A thought came to her and it says, "Well, surely I ain't going to die if I eat of that." That was a bad thought, wasn't it? And all of a sudden, because of this bad thought, there was a bad action. Because of the bad action, a curse came on all humanity because of one thought. See how powerful thoughts are? Don't you know that it's just one thought that makes everything happen and everything change? One world leader in another country could have a bad thought saying, "Man, I'm tired of this other nation over there," and push one little button because of one little thought, and thousands of people are devastated on another part of a continent, cause a whole world war and a whole world change overnight because of one with a thought thinking, "I'll push one little button." You see how powerful thoughts are? And this is why we have to keep our thoughts under control. All of our thoughts. So then we say, thoughts. And now I've got these thoughts. You say, I've got the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ running around in this brain bucket or whatever we might say. And then I got the thoughts of my own thoughts, my own human spirit, my own desires, my own wants running around in there. And then I've got satanic thoughts that are coming around. And they're all bouncing around in there. You think you shoot off in a proper kind of room, you shoot off a .22 bullet and they're bouncing all over and reflecting everywhere. And now we got all these thoughts. We got to learn how to get all these thoughts in order and line up and which ones to receive. Amen? So again, let's talk about that for just a moment. I could say right now within this room, we've got every kind of program in here right now. We've got every kind of language in here right now. If I turned on a radio and I put a radio in here, I could find you a Mexican channel, I could find you an English channel, I could find you a news channel. I could do that. If I had some kind of thing to pick up a satellite right now, it's all in here right now. It's just not being received. So if I put a satellite dish right now, I'm going to receive what's in here. If I could turn everything on into this room and made them into razor blades, before I could snap my fingers, you'd all be cut up into so many little slivers of nothing, there would be hardly nothing left in here whatsoever within 1 second if all these things, the waves of information in here right now, were made into razor blades. You'd be nothing in less than a second. So all this stuff is in here, but there's got to be something to receive it. I got to turn on a receiver to receive all of the different kind of thoughts, and I have a choice of what channel I put it on to receive.